Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
I want you to turn to Luke chapter 17, and in a few moments we'll read, but I do want to pray and then just make a few comments, and then we'll read from verse 11 down to verse 19. So just coming before the Lord. Lord, we turn once again to your word and thank you for the relevance of it. And just come before you asking that our hearts and minds would be open to that which you are revealing, what you're saying in this passage to a context then, but having application for us and you, Lord, speaking even to us today. And so enable me, Lord, to speak simply and clearly, enabled by your Spirit, and each of us, Lord, to be in submission, in desiring to be filled daily with your Spirit, we pray. Amen. I think if you've been at Central any length of time, I certainly would hope that you've heard us make the comment that we strive to glorify God in all things. And I think many Christians do that. I don't think it's unique to us. I think this is a good thing. It's a resolve that is commendable. The Scriptures make it plain. I think even in the most ordinary and mundane things of life. Well-known verse in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, and that embraces everything, it includes everything, do it all for the glory of God. So the question this morning really is, if we are to do everything to the glory of God, how does that affect the way we express gratitude? That's what I want us to think about this morning. Our whole service has been focused on thanksgiving. How do we express gratitude that would really honor God and glorify Him? Now I'm going to look at a familiar passage this morning and an incident in the ministry of Jesus. So look at your Bible, follow with me then, and I'll read then from verse 11 of Luke chapter 17. So on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return to give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." So I've been away a couple of days, and if you follow the news, there were floods down in Margate. On that particular afternoon, I said to my daughter, "Let's go for a run." And there were clouds in the sky, and it was darkish. And we set out from Ivongo, and as we were moving towards Margate, the wind started blowing and rain started spitting. But it's nice to run in the rain. But the rain got worse. It was terrible. Eventually, we realized that we couldn't carry on. And I said to my daughter, "I know of a place just through Margate. There's a business there, and if I remember correctly, it's got like a veranda." So we made our way there, and it was, I've never seen rain like I saw that afternoon. We stood there for a while hoping the rain would pass, but it didn't. It just got worse. It got worse. Eventually, we thought, okay, well, let's contact Matthew, who is good at responding to emergencies. And he didn't arrive. He said he would come, and I said, what time did you send this message to Matthew? He said, no, 10 minutes, and he should have been there in 5 minutes. Eventually, he contacted us and said he couldn't get to us because the roads were flooded. The reality was we realized we were in need. And Matthew sent us a pin, and this is a photograph. My daughter took a photograph of me running ahead of her, ankle deep down the road, the main road in Margate. And my point is, we were so grateful finally getting into Matthew's car and eventually him navigating and getting us back to the flat at Uvonga. Now my point is this, that thankfulness or gratitude is not something that exists in isolation. There is always, and there needs always to be, a context. And so gratitude, thankfulness, presupposes a dilemma, a previous dilemma, a hardship. And I quote an author that I like, J.C. Ryle. He says, see how men cry out for help when they feel they need it. So the lepers in this particular passage, in this incident, were men who desperately and unquestionably felt their need for help. And I think that would be true of many of us, some of us at times, and perhaps even yet today, my first point, the lepers knew that they were needy. Now again, I don't know how many people remember, 1973, many of you weren't even born, but I watched a movie called Papillon. So last night, I actually went and checked again to see some of the details of the movie, because in 1973 I was a teenager. And I realized, or I discovered, the movie was remade in 2017. So maybe some of the young people saw it. I don't know. Anyway, the movie is about a man who gets sent off to an island, a leper colony, for his prison sentence. And my only exposure, and that's why I'm sharing about this movie, and I still have this vivid memory, my only exposure to leprosy was what was exposed in this film, Papillon. Because Dustin Hoffman, again, if some of the older people will remember him, is handed a cup of coffee by a fellow prisoner. And as he does so, his finger falls off. Okay, so Hollywood, okay? Understand a little bit of Hollywood there. But leprosy is a severe illness. And particularly if you go back to biblical times when they did not have the kind of treatment, the medication, and help that we have in our day. Leprosy is not something to be taken lightly. Certainly not back in this day. It really is as bad as somebody losing part of a limb or a finger. It can be that bad and perhaps even worse. So here we have 10 men standing before Jesus. I would imagine it would be true to say in various stages of physical decay. They were cast out from society. That was the practice. They needed to be removed from society. They were unwanted. They were cut off from family and friends and community. This was a miserable, wretched situation and affliction. They knew it. I've no doubt that these lepers felt it. They were consciously aware of their helplessness, their misery, their rejection. So much so, when they approached Jesus, notice in the passage, it's described they stood at a distance. They knew that they were needy people. Verse 12, and as he was going into village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. You see, they earnestly cry out for relief when a chance for help appeared in sight. Now that seems like common sense, doesn't it? If you have a need, you cry out for help. We know we do that. I mean, that day I knew who to phone when we were stuck in the storm. Phone Matthew. He will be able to help us. Young people, my daughter, especially the one I'm still having to sponsor, when she runs out of airtime, I know exactly I have to buy airtime and anything else that she needs. When we have a need, we go somewhere where we know that that need can be fulfilled. The reason we pray. Week by week, before the service, at different places, privately, the realization of conscious need is a catalyst to call out in heartfelt prayer and help. And these lepers, they couldn't help recognizing their need, and they cried out to Jesus for help. He responded to their pleading with an instruction. Verse 14, when he saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priests. He didn't touch them, didn't claim healing for them. There were no washings prescribed. In this instance, and remember, we're looking at a passage I'm going to apply just now, but we're looking at what happened on that day. In this instance, this afflicted group of lepers found relief, they found healing, and they found that in the process of obeying His commands, which is going to be my second point. The lepers discovered blessing in obedience. Verse 14b, as they went, they were cleansed. Imagine what it must have been like for them. They didn't need any mirror to reflect the dramatic change. They saw it in each other. They felt it themselves. An author by the name of Kent Hughes, he paints the picture. He does it very well. He says, from carnivorous faces, now you can imagine a disintegrating body being attacked, as it were, by leprosy, re-emerged ears, noses, eyebrows, feet that were toeless, ulcerated stubs were suddenly whole, knobbly appendages grew fingers, barnacled skin became soft and supple. It was like 10 new births. There's no doubt that they were healed by Jesus. Didn't touch them. No sensational display. It was simply His word, the healing power that addressed their desperate need. Now, again, there's a principal issue here. There's something that we can learn, and I'll try and apply it just now. The healing took place in the ordinary path of unhesitating obedience. These needy, desperate men discovered that help came on their way in their walk of obedience. Which leads me to a third point. They knew they were needy. They found help in the pathway of obedience. Thirdly, Jesus exposed how rare gratitude is. Now, I want us to really think about that. That's really the focus of this message this morning. And I want to make the point that I'm largely focusing on those of us who are believers. How rare thankfulness is, and the title of my message, Surprising Thanklessness. I don't know if you often hear the words, I think I do. How ungrateful. I feel I've been taken for granted. I think these are words or phrases that so easily become part of our vocabulary. Jesus healed 10 lepers, and only one made the effort to get back to Jesus to express gratitude. Now, the thought that comes into my mind is the incident with Nathan and David. You know, David hears the story from Nathan about this terrible person who takes this innocent lamb in the parable, and David thinks he's a terrible man, and Nathan has to say to him, you're the man. And I think this applies in this passage. We can read this kind of passage, and we can say how ungrateful these lepers were. But we must not just be looking at the 10 lepers. We need to be saying, well, what about me? How do I respond? How do I respond? How do I express gratitude? Verse 15, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. I think the sadness tragedy in the passage exposed of this thanklessness is evident in the words of Jesus. Verse 17. Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Isn't it true that we are far more ready to pray than we are to praise? Isn't it true that we are more inclined to ask God for what we don't have instead of thanking Him for what we do have? I wondered about that. We do, I confess myself, can take so much for granted. Our disposition, our natural disposition is toward discontent and dissatisfaction. I so easily revert to complaining or moaning or groaning or whining or whinging. And so Jesus here is challenging not just this community then, but I believe it's a challenge that comes to the people of God generally. Spirit of thanklessness. And we've sung a song this morning, and we're going to play a song a little bit later as well. Don't we need to more frequently take a moment to count your many blessings and see what the Lord has done? Isaac, you changed the words of the song this morning, brother. As I remember that song, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Isn't that so? How dare he change the words, huh? only kidding. It's true when we count our blessings, because so easily we focus on that which is going to be discouraging. And so it does bring us back to this question. It brings us back to the question, if we are to do all things to the glory of God, how does it affect the way we express gratitude? Now I want to move on to the practical side. So now we move on from this context, particular situation with 10 lepers, to a congregation, to a group of people, to individual people living on the last Sunday of 2025. And I want to ask the question, is how can I practice God-glorifying thankfulness? Number one, acknowledge that you are a needy person. Thanklessness has its roots in a mindset of pride. Proud people who feel self-sufficient and autonomous, feel that they're deserving. They feel that they're on top of the pile, and everybody else and anything else ought to serve them, including God. In fact, there is this sentiment, and I've repeated this many times in the pulpit, that I see in adverts: you deserve this. Whatever it is. Do you? We need to recognize that God does not owe us actually anything. And if I think back to my own era of child rearing, and perhaps a little bit more connected with that kind of world, why is it that a spoiled brat, okay, anybody ever seen a spoiled brat? A spoiled brat always displays ingratitude. Open up a toy for maybe for Christmas and looks at it and throws it aside, and that's not what I wanted. That's a spoiled brat. Ingratitude. And so there's a sense of entitlement amongst us as people, believing that we deserve things because we are better than the rest. Is one person more deserving than the next? And we need to go back to our theology, our basic theology, that we're all sinful people. We're all undeserving. We don't deserve anything but the wrath of God, actually. Every breath we take is actually a gift, a grace gift from God. This beautiful world we live in, the relationships we have, the families we enjoy, the friends, the jobs we have, the house, there isn't anything that isn't actually a grace gift from God. And so if we are to practice God-glorifying thankfulness, we must adjust our mindset It doesn't matter whether you're a strong person or a rich person or an educated person. You need to feel, I need to feel that I'm needy. I need to be aware, and now I want to apply the passage. I don't have leprosy, none of you have leprosy, but you have a spiritual disease. It's called sin. It's called the sinful nature. Regardless of background, regardless of position, regardless of class or culture or education or intelligence. Isn't it true that we're hanging, as it were, over the brink even of hell? Apart from the saving grace and kindness of God. And so God glorifying gratitude, it's not just a good habit. We're not just trying to teach the kids manners. It has a foundation in an awareness of need before a holy God. This conscious awareness is that every little and big gift is from the hand of God. Which leads me to the next point. Be willing to follow the pathway of obedience. Now, I'm not suggesting over here that if you have an illness, that you just have to follow a particular command and all will be well. That's not what the passage is saying. We need to understand what is it that is being addressed here as the fundamental issue. Humble submission to the commands of God is a lesson from this passage and does lead generally to well-being in life. That is true. But spiritual disease requires a response to the command of God to repent and believe. I was thinking about this morning. So I've got to the stage, I was very proud of the fact, you see there's pride, that I was never on medication. Until about 6 months ago. Now I'm on regular medication. So I was thinking about this, reading through my notes this morning, and I thought, it's great to have the medication. I got a refill of my medication yesterday from Clicks. It's next to my bed. I know that medication is good for me. It solves my blood pressure issues and whatever. But I can't leave the medication on my table. I've got to take it. Isn't it? And the gospel is like that. We can know. Jesus loves me, this I know, the Bible tells me so. We can know that Jesus died on the cross for sinners. We know that John the Baptist pointed to him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There's the medicine. But if you don't take the medicine, you must receive it. There's repenting and believing, following the pathway of obedience. You see, these lepers, and if we go back to them as an analogy, the lepers could have questioned or argued or decided their own course of action, but then they would not have been healed. Jesus is showing us wisdom of simple, childlike obedience, even when his ways are different to our ways. Now you may ask, how does this relate to God glorifying thankfulness? Isn't it true that a disobedient spirit, what is it? It's a rebellious spirit. And so a rebellious spirit is self-centered and proud. It's a demanding spirit which operates outside of the scope of thankfulness. Which leads me to a third point. And I wonder if we could do this. Cultivate a thankful spirit. Of course, we notice the one who returned to give thanks was a Samaritan. Now, usually Jews, we know that Jews and Samaritans steered clear of each other. Yeah, they're united, 10 lepers by common misery. But then Jesus also notes the strangeness of the foreigner returning. The Jews should have been first to give thanks because they knew the reality of the one true living God. And Jesus says, was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? What was the problem? The problem amongst the others, speculating, was it not presumption, taking for granted, that kept them from expressing thanks? God had done so much for them. They had a history. They knew of the history. It was a recorded history. God had been faithful to them. And now they were unthinkingly taking the healing for granted. So So how do we cultivate this thankful spirit? Well, I've got 2 points. Cultivate a thankful spirit by avoiding presumption. For God has given us so much. Now, I'm telling you, I'm preaching to myself, regularly having to preach to myself. He has given us every spiritual blessing in Christ. It's not ever take that for granted. It's a generosity that we constantly need to hold before us, because it comes in a context of those of us who understand our need. It's the context of grace, undeserved merit. God giving what we don't, not one of us deserving. We are not deserving. Count your many blessings. Again, I'm going to repeat that. Name them one by one. Hold them up in the light of the context of where you come from as a needy sinner. Constantly remembering that apart from God's grace, you deserve no good thing. Again, I say it requires a mindset change, thanking God for what you have and not focusing on what you don't have. And again, I wonder this morning if there isn't any merit sometime today, just taking some time, jotting down every step I take, every breath I take, every loved one, every single thing is a grace gift from God. But I want to say, and I have another point that I think is crucial. It goes further. It is this. Cultivate a spirit of thanksgiving by appreciating who God is. Imagine. You would not be honored if I thanked you for a gift you gave me, but I had no regard for you. Do you get the point of what I'm saying? I think you'd feel insulted. If your character and personality are not appealing to me or attractive to me and give me joy to be around you, I think it would be true to say that then you would feel used, like a tool, a machine, simply producing the things that somebody wants. It's like that with God. If we are not captured by who He is, His personality, His being, His attributes, His perfections, then our declarations of thanksgiving, and I use this analysis, it's like the gratitude of a wife to a husband for the money she gets from him to use it in an affair with another man. Isn't that true? That's idolatry. So gratitude that is pleasing to God is not just the delight in the benefits that we get from God. It's rooted in who He is, as the God who is worthy to be worshipped. A delight in the beauty and excellency of God's character. I want to conclude now. Unbelievers are described by Paul in the book of Romans as those who are ungrateful. In other words, he places ingratitude at the root of sinfulness. Speaking of man's spiritual history, he says in Romans 1:21, "For though they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God, nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." So you can see that when one has been rescued from sinfulness and sinful nature, and you've been given this new nature in Christ, and this forgiveness and this reconciliation, then gratitude replaces ingratitude. And so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do for the glory of God. Perhaps a comment that I do want to make is one we like the Samaritan experience, and I want to say it was more than just the leprosy of healing. I won't go into that particular aspect of the passage. I believe he experienced the joy of salvation. Having heard the declaration by Jesus at the end, "Rise and go," verse 19, "your faith has made you well."
He saw who Jesus was. He responded to him and experienced the blessing, not just of physical leprosy that had fallen from him, but it healed, been healed from the disease of sin. Well, only the Samaritan returned to praise God and offer thanksgiving for saving faith. His gratitude and praise to God, I believe, were signs of saving faith. And I think the question we must ask ourselves, are we like the Samaritan who understands the desperate need that we have and the great gift that God has given? We're going to do something now that we don't often do, but we're simply going to play a song, a video. And I want you to watch the words on the screen. Don't sing it. Don't worry to sing it. You probably don't know the song. It's another song of counting one's blessings. And I think these words, they certainly have ministered to me just even, in fact, recent days. Count your many blessings. So can we play that song now? Let's just be quiet. And then after that, Isaac will come and lead us in another song and close the service.
Thank you for listening to the sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.